Hello, I'm Cathy Broadbent. I live in Nangara, which is about 15 minutes drive from here. We purchased our block in about 2004, and we're on 2.5 acres there. And essentially, we bought there because we were sick of living in suburbia. When we bought our block, we were only allowed to clear 20% of the building envelope and to build our home, and the rest was left natural, with all the trees and the animals that were present before we moved in, and that suited us perfectly.
Welcome to Understory, the 6th day of February 2019. I'm Elizabeth Poe. In the next few decades, Perth's population is forecast to double, potentially making us Australia's third largest city. So where will all the new people live? Greater Perth already stretches more than 120 kilometres. Making us one of the world's longest cities. We are ever spreading outward. Our low urban density means we often miss out on some of the benefits of city living.
And I can remember walking in bushland in Wanneroo with kangaroo paws waist high. Where have they all gone? And across the road from us, I was told there was at least 50 different kinds of orchids. Where are they now?
Each year, developers are allowed to take more land on the edges of Perth, consuming bushland and bulldozing any sense of place that distinguishes one area from another. Sustainability campaigners are beginning to wonder whether or not there's a hierarchy of stakeholders favouring corporate interests and developers. Are there predetermined outcomes to a consultative process that is more about form than substance? Constance O'Brien, Cathy Broadbent, Cheryl Kundal and Kadambi Barnau. These landowners are a feisty, informed, caring group who have found each other and together moved to make sure any changes to the East Wanneroo area are in keeping with the long view of inclusive land stewardship.
What species are we likely to see if we come up to East Wanneroo?
Around the lakes there are a lot of paperbarks which thrive in an area where they can get their feet wet and keep them wet. There are Swan River myrtles that come in after that. There are lots and lots of grass trees, which are now called Balga, with a Noongar name. And there's a lot of low growth cover too, which includes everything from orchids in season to dampiera to some native grevilleas. There's an abundance if you're prepared to get out and have a look around. We see a lot of reptiles, including frogs of various types, and snakes, of course, the most common being dugites and tiger snakes, both of which tend to live their own lives unless we corner them, and then, of course, there's a bit of a confrontation. Most of the time, they're running away from us as fast as we can run away from them. But fortunately, they're not prolific, but they're there all the time. They were here before we were. You've got to expect them. In the undergrowth, there's also a lot of bird life. The smaller birds love to have dense cover. On my own property I have a family of quails who live in the long grasses and the shrubby plants that grow there, and the smaller birds love to nest in shrubby bush as well, such as the wrens. I even have pardalotes that nest at my place, wagtails, fantails. So far I've counted 65 different native birds on my property.
The bandicoots up this far or not?
I have a resident bandicoot, and it's a delight to see it. I don't know whether it's got a partner, but I am led to believe that they can have a territory spanning about 5 square kilometres. So hopefully within that boundary there's a mate somewhere. Kangaroos still come through my property regularly, and we do have a problem still with feral cats because a lot have been dumped out in the pine forests. There are foxes and rabbits. And in the reptiles, we also have the larger varieties, such as the bungara, the goanna. So it's a delight to see that there's still a haven for them, even though there's building going up around them.
Constance O'Brien, Cathy Broadbent and Kadambi Barnau are all affected by the deferred urban zone. But these women are motivated by much more than concern for their own lifestyle. We speak with landowners whose love of bush and nature has led them to increasing the green cover on their blocks by preserving and planting native species and securing safe ecosystems for the remnant wild animals, amphibians, birds and reptiles in their area.
Oh, my name's Kadambi Barneo, and we moved here in 99. And what we liked about it was that you had to put in eco sewerage, and we had to put in buffer zones with trees and all sorts of things. So that's what we wanted to do that. We wanted to bring back. So if you can imagine this place that just had that one tree by the front gate and one at the back and one in the middle.
And what do you see now?
Well, I mean, the lake is full of native, grasses and flax. There's all the paper bark trees all around here. We planted also the gums. The balga, everything. We just brought, they were digging up so many areas over there in the balgas, so we brought the balgas here. And the jirigi, which is the macrosomia. We have special connections to a lot of the over 100 wildflowers that are flowering often at any one time here, and also in the conservation wetland, which is next door there, which also has a sacred healing site from the Noongar people, and also a kenning site, Eastern Word Corroboree.
The Metropolitan Region Scheme, or MRS, lays out the future use of land in the Perth region, giving a legal basis to local councils' decisions that might try to shape development in their area. The MRS stretches from Singleton in the south to Two Rocks in the north and east to the lakes. But before we update you on the newest metropolitan plan that came out a couple of weeks ago, let us take you back to November last year. Adrian Glamorgan and I went out to a Wanneroo acreage to sit by a dam with a group of remarkable women to take afternoon tea, listen to the birds, and learn more about what goes for consultation in their Wanneroo area.
Initially, about 4.5 years ago, we had the then Liberal government put out the Green Growth Plan, which was quite deceptive in its title because it was actually 20% less green growth than we have at the moment. That was a big, high, overarching helicopter view of what they wanted to do with the land between Yanchep and Mandra and then out to the hills. So essentially that was a helicopter plan. From there it broke down into northeast substructure plans, you know, southwest substructure plans, down to the East Wanneroo structure plan, depending on where you lived in the area. So that's how it worked. There's basically three layers of planning. Then there's a fourth layer. Under the East Wanneroo structure plan, for example, there are MRSs that are released. I think it's a metropolitan regional scheme. The MRS then changes the nature of the land from where I am, special rural, over to urban deferred. So the MRS comes out, and it comes out for comment, and people put in their comments. That is the only consultation that this government has had with the landholders. And there is a growing cry amongst all of the action groups, and we are part of those action groups, and they're all over the metropolitan area. There is a call for a Royal Commission into the WA Planning Commission because things are just not right.
It's been like that for quite a long time. Yes. And from what we heard through our all these processes we've all been through, we were part of CREW, Clearwater Revival of East Wanneroo, which did a big campaign the last time and the time before. We would be very happy and be prepared to sit down with all the massive documents we have of all the information and help those consultants and the planning department understand this area, rather than just having to fight. It's almost like we feel that they're just testing us all the time.
Residents from East Wanneroo have seen this push before. They're wondering why significant scientific reports from earlier attempts to rezone have disappeared from the conversation.
The council have sort of been good, and the now government has been good, but the trouble is you keep getting told by everyone, it doesn't matter what side of politics or which consultants or which people in anywhere. I know this because we're connected to other people in other cities around Perth who have these problems is they'd say, big broad plan, don't worry about it. You know, of course we won't do anything bad to the lake, you know. And we say, what about riparian borders? Oh, no, don't worry about it, don't worry. I think what we're all not too happy about is you sort of get treated like you're stupid, but all of us have become incredible experts. We've worked with scientists. We've worked with all sorts of people who have an intimate knowledge of the area going back in time. Not just Aboriginal people, I'm talking about people who've lived in Wanneroo. Old residents and that, isn't it? Not, you know, yes. Way older than us.
I just think the last consultation that we were invited to be involved in, we were coerced and bullied to saying what they want us to say, to design where schools, where railways were going to go. None of us want it. But they had already decided. So you feel as if no matter what you say, it's not going to make the slightest bit of difference. They even talked about high-rise around the lake areas, and we are aware that the soil around those lake areas, it's very dangerous to disturb it, isn't it?
Yeah, Kadambi? It is. The sulfate soils issue has been one that's come up in all my rounds.
Yes.
It's a lakes district, so there's the organic peat, etc., everywhere, going north of here, south of here, but right in the East Wanneroo area. So that means you if you dig that up, expose it to oxygen, you know, you end up with, and then
arsenic,
it rains.
It?
Yeah,
arsenic.
And sulfuric acid. It's very pyrites-rich sand as well. So it's high risk. If you look on the map, so it's been interesting how every time there's been they've put out the first editions of things, all the governments. So this isn't, and this was actually something that we had to remind the council about again too. It's like, why weren't the maps of the high risk acid sulfate soil in with these new, you know, respond to this? So is it because they don't want people knowing about it? And that's been the big secret that's been kept back through all these cycles. And I don't, you know, even in the earlier days, we've been given books from the sciences and government departments from the 90s, talking about how they went to America and America said, for God's sake, don't do what we did, because they've got poison water everywhere, people who can't use any bore water, any underground water, because it's been wrecked through this, people who have to wear like astronaut suits to go gardening and have to keep them in a separate place away from the house.
And there are already places in the suburbs where they have poisoned the water. Yes, exactly.
The minister responsible for planning, Rita Saffiotti, MLA, has so far declined several interview requests from Understory.
And I just feel they also failed to mention or take notice of the fact that there are vegetation complexes within this area that don't exist anywhere else. And this system of circular lakes is very precious historically, environmentally, and we should make something of it, not a concrete jungle, not like the suburbs that are around. The council themselves are recognising that they're building heat banks and no streetscapes with trees, so there's no shade. But who created this situation? Bad planning, bad development.
You're with Understory. We are talking to some East Wanneroo residents who are concerned about the planning consultation process. It has many layers, but they are concerned that at all stages, speaking to the community is just a matter of ticking boxes.
And I just really feel that we have to stand up. The problem is that we can never get to the bottom of who makes the final decision. We talk to the council, they're often on our side, but the state government can overrule whatever the council. They can put things in here without even consulting the council. So somewhere or other, there's not a lot of transparency, and we're really seeking that.
So what was your experience of being on that consultation body?
I think it was a total waste of time, and in fact I was quite insulted by it. I was led to believe that it would be open and honest consultation. It seems to be typical of government to have this consultation after the fact, after the event, rather than engaging with your stakeholders or people that are impacted at the beginning and actually discussing with them what they're proposing and perhaps getting some good ideas from the landowners, they don't seem to want to do that. They're frightened of talking to people. So you have a public servant somewhere sitting in Hay Street that devises this wonderful plan for this area, who's never even seen the area, and then rolls it out to everyone and gets totally defensive when we don't like it. I don't know why they don't engage with stakeholders earlier, but the community reference groups were an absolute insult. They're a waste of my time. My time is precious, and particularly when they've already decided what they're going to do. It was just a token consultation, and it certainly was not the consultation we were expecting.
And Adrian, look, people are going to say the old NIMBY thing. Yes. You know, we've had that thrown at us the whole time. I'm sure you did before.
Yes.
I turned up.
Yes.
You know, not in my backyard, you know.
From 1988, we started the Wanneroo Association of Rural Residents. That was 1988. And then every couple of years we've had EPRAG, which was fighting the perimeter road, then we've had the Clearwater revival. People have tried for so long to make government and councils realise the value of this place. I mean, when it's gone forever. You're not going to get it back.
Now, the East Wanneroo Structure Plan area has been announced. The amendment to the Metropolitan Region Scheme will rezone just over 2,000 hectares from the rural zone to the urban deferred zone. The amendment says this will facilitate future residential development, schools and commercial centres. It also claims to facilitate future public open space and conservation areas. But really, the decision will vastly reduce those public open spaces and areas favourable to conservation. What's at stake is not just delightful Bankshire woodland in Perth's northeast, but all bushland north, south and east, as well as our democratic processes.
I do love just walking around the boundary of the conservation wetlands there. There are 400 and 600-year-old paperbark trees in there, and one of them has a marking on it that points to a burial site over here. But deep inside, there's also a place where the elders showed me where there's a paperbark where humans have dug out to get the water out from it to drink. And then around the side, you can see where the kangaroos have done the same thing. So you can see the human sort of archaeology on one side and then the kangaroo on the other. So, I mean, you just wouldn't have... If you don't keep these things, and you can create spaces for people to get in touch with these things in places like this. And it's a lakes district. It's not for dormitory suburbs.
You've been with Understory on an exploration of the changing face of Perth. And how may engagement be improved between all stakeholders in prime, precious, irreplaceable land as it's considered for development and for the long-term health of ecosystems on which we all depend for many generations to come? We hope to keep bringing awareness of these gaps in communication between the different views of our common future, and hope by doing so we can help facilitate some lasting solutions. I'm Elizabeth Poe, and along with Understory reporter Adrian Glamorgan, we've heard from activists in the Wanneroo area. So thanks to Constance, Kadambi, Cheryl and Kathy. And tune in, same time, same planet next week, when there'll be more to explore on Understory.